thank goodness, Reed Martin, you're here. People are so sick of listening to me. Please, say something.
Hi, Reed Martin here.
Very good start.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 341, Development of Comedy.
Reed Martin has joined me here at my home in Chicago for a week because we are madly writing the complete history of comedy abridged, our eighth stage show, but the Reduced Shakespeare Company's ninth stage show, if I've got those numbers correct. And I thought it would be fun to just turn on the microphone and record our writing process, but I don't.
Well, that was very quiet. Mostly you hear tap, 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 and then long things. You'd hear us looking out the window and thinking, and then tap, 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 tap.
And the occasional one of us muttering, no, that doesn't work.
No, the rhythm of that isn't right.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Banana, yeah. Tap, 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 tap.
Banana. Kumquat.
Yes.
And so we just wanted to give you an up-to-date status report on how the complete history of comedy abridged is going, and I'll come right out and say it. I feel enormously challenged.
People say that about us. You two are kind of challenged. Yes, we indeed are.
I feel kind of special.
Yeah.
I feel this way about every show when it comes time to say, okay, we're starting rehearsals in a month. We really need to get it into shape to go into rehearsals. And I think, you know, this is the third show where we will workshop the show in a non-Reduced Shakespeare Company production.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually been a good thing. And this thing that we're feeling is a good thing that we need to get it done, because I know when we'd be the first ones to perform it and rehearse it, I think we didn't feel this pressure to have a complete script going in, and I think that slowed down the process because we would be the ones performing it, and so we'd say, well, it's going to be something like this, and we'll so we spent a lot of time in rehearsal writing scenes. And so this makes us a little more in rehearsal rehearsing scenes and see if they work,
right?
But it puts our butt to the burner, and that's probably a good thing.
It's probably rehearsal time is probably been better spent rehearsing.
Yes. Oh, what a concept.
Yeah, what an interesting thought. On the one hand, what could be easier? It just needs to be 90 minutes of funny.
Yes. You know. Well, what could be? Well, that's the whole point of the show, Austin.
Right.
It's not easy.
Yes. All right. See. Yes. Yes. You've hit it. That is the subtext of our show. Comedy isn't easy. If it were easy, everybody would do it. I say comedy isn't brain surgery. You can learn brain surgery. You can't learn comedy. You've either got it or you ain't.
Yes. Exactly. And now, from my point of view, it's mechanical.
Oh,
it's the rule of threes. It's the double take. It's the slap. Now,
and from my point of view, it's context.
Right.
It's context and character. So I'm sort of making this up just to make it a more interesting podcast. but I do. There's a truth. There's truth to what you said, and there's truth to what I said. But you can say certain things in the right context, and it's funny.
Right.
You say them in a different context, and it's really not.
Well, and then Dominic's point of view. Dominic, you listening? This is your point of view.
Yeah.
Is that it's instinctive.
Yeah.
You know, something is funny or it isn't. I mean, you can construct it mechanically so that it should be funny, or you can construct it intellectually so that it should be funny.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they will laugh.
Yeah.
And then it is funny, or they won't laugh and it is not funny.
It is. It's a very binary thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're either laughing or they're not. Well, and I know, it seems like a topic that's been done to death, but it really hasn't, the history of comedy. I mean, there at Monty Python did that great bit at the Hollywood Live at the Hollywood Bowl, and Bill Irwin's seminal, if I can use that word.
Watch it.
I know we don't want to get too dirty or blue early on in the podcast. Bill Irwin's show, the Regard of Flight. These talk about the mechanics of comedy with a kind of a serious construct, we don't want to do what's already been done, but also that's the challenge, is to do a show about the history of comedy that is not a lecture, not a workshop, and a Reduced Shakespeare Company show. I loved one of the books that you gave me about the philosophy of jokes. It had a great line in it, which is that trying to search for the definitions of humor is one of the definitions of humor.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's a funny thing. Like, all our characters have this particular point of view, and they're too narrow.
Always.
Right? And so that's part of the funny, is that some humor, yes, is mechanical. Some is intellectual. And some is just a happy accident. Yes, instinctive. And, oh, that was funny. We didn't even think it would be.
Yeah.
And that's sort of, I think, what's true about all of our shows, is that the three of us have points of view that are all too narrow. But if you put them together, it's sort of one enlightened whole. Yeah?
Right. Well, and what I find fun is that you put on Facebook, okay, we're madly writing this show.
Yeah.
What would you need to see in the complete history of comedy?
Mm-hmm.
And lots of great comments and ideas, many of which we've had and a few of which we hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it all, people tend to look at it from their own experience. Why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of things from the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Right? But that's the joy of our shows is you know, well, we're going to go back to the caveman or before, you know, and certainly it's going to be, and some people mention this to their credit, there's the Romans, there's the Greeks, there's Commedia, there's the music hall, there's vaudeville, there's burlesque, it's, you know, and on and on and on. And that's kind of the fun. I think, to me, a lot of the fun of the show is, you know, people, comedians today are so dirty. Have you read Shakespeare? Have you seen Lysistrata? Right? Or, oh, fart jokes, come on, you're better than that. You know, in our research, farts are I'm not saying they're highbrow, but they've always been funny.
They're always funny. Or even to use a very highly technical term of art, the dick joke.
Right.
You know, the knob joke in the UK. It's, you know, if you look on ancient pottery, you will see, what is it, falcons or pharaohs with large phalli.
Yeah. Phalli, is that the
I don't know. I have no idea.
It is now. Yeah. So that's part of the fun. We're going to touch upon the things. That's probably not the one way I want to say it after phalluses. But we're going to touch upon things that people want to see.
Wait, how many phalluses are we going to touch?
I don't know. But in a historical context, it makes it fun.
Well, and the other challenge, I think, for both of us is a little bit not repeating ourselves in a bad way, because we will repeat ourselves in almost inevitably. But there's a whole throughout. I mean, I again, one of the personal challenges for me is that I think on a subtextual level, all of our Reduced Shakespeare Company shows are about the history of comedy, in that we will use, as they say in Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, we will use everything in our arsenal to divert you,
right,
to amuse you, all the funny tricks we can think of from the present to the past. But there are sketches in a bunch of our shows that seem like, oh, this would be a good sketch for the history of comedy show, like Thomas Jefferson sending that great vaudeville team out to discover America, Lewis and Clark.
Yeah.
You know?
Or the radio show from the, well, I guess a lot of this is in the history of America.
Yeah.
Or in the
Bible show.
Yeah.
You know, God talking to Moses.
Yeah. The first stand-up was Moses.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Listen up, children of Israel. I got good news and bad news.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's challenging. I guess it's... What is the word? Meta? I guess it's going to be a little more meta than the other shows.
Yeah, maybe. Well, and what's interesting is that, if I've repeated this on a podcast before, forgive me, but you sent out a bunch of emails to artistic directors around the country about some ideas we were having for various possible future shows, and the response to this idea was really tremendous. From Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park, which will premiere the show in November of 2013, but also then from Charles Towers at Merrimack Repertory Theater, which will and they're booking us in to do a subsequent production in April of 2014.
Yeah, and that's the challenge. Something we're interested in, and something people want to book. I mean, some of our shows we think are hilarious, not in a bragging way. I think they're all very, very funny.
Yeah.
But some just somehow the name or the idea of the show tickles people's imagination, the public, and presenters. I mean, one that I think is really underbooked is all the great books abridged, which we're doing this coming Saturday. Well, this week, if you're listening to this when this podcast first comes out, Saturday, June 22nd, I think.
Yeah.
And it's a really good show.
It's really smart, really funny.
Yeah, and yet, not that, and we did well by it, but I'm surprised it doesn't do more. And I don't know if it's, if the title isn't quite explaining the concept, or just people think literature, that's not going to be, you know.
Yeah, right.
So, and I'm not going to say show title, but there's other shows which I think maybe are funny, but maybe not our funniest shows, but people just love the idea of it.
Yeah.
And so, so we pick comedy because we're interested in it, and two, the people who book us were interested in
it.
Hi, dear friends. This is Phil Proctor of the Fire Sign Theater, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSE? This Saturday, we'll be performing at All the Great Books Abridged at the Columbia Festival of the Arts in Columbia, Maryland, while our ongoing tour of the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised continues in Leeds, Ayr, Stirling, South Shields, Musselburgh, and then finally London next month for 4 weeks at the Leicester Square Theatre. We'll also continue touring in the UK this fall, and we'll be in Australia in August, and Asia, and all across the U.S., including 7 weeks at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park this fall of 2013. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. So we're sitting here writing the show. And as you said, it would behoove us to have a script that they go into rehearsal with. But as I sit here writing, I kind of go, oh God, yeah, that'd be funny. Yeah, let's work that out in rehearsal.
Right.
You know, like they used to do apparently for Lucille Ball on her show,
uh-huh.
or for Bill Cosby on his show.
Uh-huh.
The writers would write the scene, and then they would write a line of stage direction. Bill is funny.
Right.
Lucy does something physical,
right.
You know, and I think so much of what the show is possibly going to be is a reaction to what we're actually doing, which we won't really know until we're rehearsing and getting it up on its feet.
Well, and I think I'm probably more notorious for this is, I don't know if it's my circus background, but I go, yeah, we do a funny thing about, you know, synchronized swimming, or we do, yeah, we sing a bunch of sports from history and around the world, and do a funny bit with cards. And that absolutely cannot be scripted. I mean, you can write the lyrics,
right.
But the bit. And thank you guys for those early productions of bearing with us while we work out all the physical bits.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, right. Yeah, exactly right. So we can't really do you can't write a script of, you know, 90 pages of just that,
right.
Of figuring it out in rehearsal, because
right.
There's just not enough rehearsal time in the world.
Right.
I mean, that's an interesting thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we watched Regard a Flight again recently, and I wonder how much of that was developed through rehearsal, through workshops, through. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have. Well, I guess we could take that kind of time,
mm-hmm.
I suppose. But I don't really. It seems like we have other things that we need to be doing rather than spending 6 months in a rehearsal hall somewhere developing quietly.
Right.
Also, we don't get paid that way.
Right. I mean, the two shows, I guess, that came closest to that would be the original Complete Works of William Shakespeare,
yes,
Abridged.
That's right.
And then the show we just mentioned, All the Great Books Abridged, because we were both in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And so that worked out. We started to work that out in probably 20 or 30 minute bits.
Chunks, yeah.
Over a long period of time. I also think our shows are more verbal,
yeah,
than Regard of Flight.
Yeah.
So I think Regard of Flight, I would imagine, had to be developed in the rehearsal hall. Or, I mean, there's definitely spoken bits, but I what is it, two-thirds physical, one-third spoken,
yeah,
maybe?
Probably.
And ours is probably the other way around, at
probably.
Least.
Well, and it's interesting, as you said, we put it out on Facebook. What do you think a history of comedy show should cover? And all these people rattled off great suggestions. Very few of them, if any, mentioned clowns.
And as the former Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus clown, I am not surprised.
Well, not only is it your training and your background, but it's. I mean, the Bible Show, which was developed with you and Matt Croak, your fellow Ringling Brothers clown, has so much clown business in it. But I've never went to clown college or whatever. But I'm fairly physical in that sense, even in my straight with air quotes performances. But that will definitely be a feature of what we do, and it will be part of the physicality of what we do.
Yeah, it's funny. You'd think that clowning, I'd have a whole bunch of ideas for what that sketch is, and And I don't necessarily. Sometimes you almost know too much. It's hard to narrow it down.
Well, this is the problem. This is the problem I have. You know, the history of comedy is so. It's not like the Bible. It's not like Shakespeare. It's not like even American history that has a linear structure to it. Mm-hmm. History of comedy. That's all. How do we narrow it down? How do we focus it? We've had a couple of ideas on how to focus it. We're thinking of it. We're thinking of it a little bit as a guide to comedy, the kind of the things you need to know about comedy. We're also thinking of it as sort of the opposite of what the title is. It's sort of a not just the history of comedy, but also the comedy of history. What funny things have happened in history that happened slightly differently than you think they happened.
Well, you hear about the tragedies of history, but what's really important and what you don't hear about were the comedies of history that changed the course of the way things went. And in terms of the structure, we've been talking about it, the closest thing, and getting back to the book show, is that doesn't, I mean, the individual books have stories, and it's set in a remedial classroom, so it has a setting, but the order of it really could be anything, unlike history, I guess like the Shakespeare show. I mean, all those plays have stories, but the order really could be anything.
And so
the structure, I think, is going to end up being a little bit more like that. The structure goes in the order where it feels most natural.
And again, that will be a thing that we find out in rehearsals. And part of the rehearsal process that we're going to have when we first direct it at the Napa Valley Playhouse this August is there will be a weekly or a biweekly, bi-monthly, I guess, every couple of weeks, a public reading of the material, or public, or staged reading, maybe scripts in hand, maybe not, and get a sense of the material, how it works for an invited audience, whoever wants to show up. And that's, as in everything, that's so enormously helpful. Where we'll go, oh, that sketch kind of works. We can put it wherever we want to put it. Or that sketch needs to go after this sketch, or it's not going to work at all. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. So I think it is going to be sort of modal, as we say, but also flexible until. Maybe even after we start doing previews.
Well, and you know, most the America show, not so much because it goes in chronological order, but even when I joined the company and the Shakespeare show was existent but not completely settled, there was talk of shifting things in the middle. I mean, starting with Romeo and Juliet and finished with Hamlet, those were the anchors. But there was talk of shifting things around, and we certainly shifted things around in the book show, we shifted things around in the Hollywood show, we shifted things around in the sports show.
Yep.
So in all of our shows, it's just like, you can't, we were talking with D. Ryan, your wife, last night about long-form improv.
Right.
And that, you know, you can't go fast, and then slow. You need to mix it up, you know, fast, slow, let it build, or the audience, it gets tiresome.
Yeah.
The audience wears out, and we learned that from watching it ourselves and listening to the audience, that sometimes you might have three funny scenes in a row, but you need to break them up because they're too similar.
Well, and when we've done a show even like the Bible or like books in Edinburgh without an intermission, all of our shows are conceived to have an intermission where you get that break. So you can start the second act in a sort of a different mode and a different rhythm. But if you do the show at Edinburgh or anywhere without an intermission, that rhythm gets thrown. So suddenly stuff that really works quite strongly at the beginning of the second act doesn't work quite so well when they've been sitting there already for 45 minutes and didn't get the break that they were promised at its intermission.
Yeah. And the last two or three shows we've kicked around, well, should we do a show without an intermission? Nowadays, so many people do. A full-length show is an hour and 15, you know, somewhere between an hour and 15 and an hour 30 without an intermission.
Yeah.
And we haven't done it, and we may not, but that would be a different challenge.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your history of comedy suggestions via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to Webmaster Matt Rippey, Not Really an Evil Clown Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Nicole Rossetti. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Phil Proctor from the Firesign Theater, another formative comic influence. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 341 1023rd of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Austin has lived here now almost 2 years. And this is the nature of the way we work. This is the first time I have set foot in Austin's house. It was this week. It's a lovely house.
Thank you very much.
Love what you've done with the place.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.